Kurt and Kate Mornings, not just on the radio.
It's a podcast, too.
We were schooled by Chet Gladkowski. By the time we finished our conversation, we all had a PhD in hope.
It was really a great conversation. He's a local guy who's written a couple of books, and this is one of them, and boy, does he understand hope.
Becoming a more hopeful person in a world that desperately wants to drain hope right out of you. And just spoiler alerts on the front end of all of this, he's a follower of Jesus, and that's relationship with the Lord is what gives all of us real hope. A PhD in, a PhD in hope.
Yes.
That's the name of your book.
Yes, it is.
That. All right. Well, how'd you come up with this idea?
Well, first of all, it's an honor to be here and to be with your audience. The idea of hope came to me when I was living in the basement of my mother-in-law. We were during the early days of the pandemic, and we were trying to help our four parents who were all in their 90s, and they couldn't find toilet paper. They couldn't find anything. So we went to live with them in Baltimore, where we're from. And living in a basement, there's no light. And trying to go out 5 a.m. to get things for their daily needs, including prescriptions, was draining. And I started blogging on hope. And the idea just went from there. Numbers of people I was connected with said, this has been very helpful. And that's how I connected with it.
Okay, PhD stands for personal hope development.
Yes, it does. It is nothing to be scared about. You don't have to go through 26 years of education. I think you can read this book in 26 minutes, and it's intentionally short because we all have attention deficit. Mm-hmm. And the idea, so right. Each of those steps, there are 7 steps for learning how to fill up your hope tank. I would suggest that most people's hope tank is at least empty or empty-ish, and some people are running on fumes.
Yes, I think you're absolutely right. We as followers of Christ, though, I mean, Jesus and hope, it's synonymous. They are synonymous, aren't they?
Yes and no. They are synonymous to us. But to most people who are listening to me, hope is like smoke in the air. It's nothing I can put my feet on. It's nothing I can hold on to. But the hope that we have in Jesus Christ is more solid than the concrete under your feet. It's more dependable than anything else in this world. So we have this one word, hope. But we have it has what's called the lexical range. It can mean so many different things. That's why the idea of PhD, you have to be purposeful to get hope. Hope is not just going to fly in the window. It's not going to walk in the front door. You have to be purposeful to receive and to grow your hope.
Okay. We have to be intentional about this. So when we come back, we're going to be talking about these 7 steps, okay, for everybody taking notes here. But Chet walked in with basically an armful of books here. We have a total of 10 of his books, PhD in Hope, to be given away.
Great.
It's a small book, but it packs a powerful punch. Hey, you autographed this one, I think. Wow, that's great. Colossians 1:27 is what you said here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's perfect. All right, so we've got 10 of these books. We want to put them in your hands. Be a lot of fun, easy read. Don't be intimidated by, sometimes folks can get intimidated by books. Those of us who read the Puritans have gotten over that, right, Kate?
Yeah.
the 20-pound book that, yeah, I know. Trust me, that's the thing, Chet. We always joke around about reading the Puritans. And I love reading the Puritans, but some of these books are really thick, so you have to work your way up.
I promise you and everybody listening that that there is not a single thee or thou in this book.
There you go.
Okay, thanks.
All right, so that's, hey, wait a minute, there's a guarantee. The first page, it says not a single thee or thou in this book.
That's right.
Wow, that's nice. I like it.
Thank you for taking some time to listen to this episode of the Curtain Cape Mornings podcast. We always welcome a review with your thoughts and comments, and please feel free to subscribe and follow us as well.
Let's talk about some of the nuts and bolts of this, okay? Truth on the run, truth with handles, so you can pick it up and use it today. 7 steps to receive hope. Let's talk about some of those.
Okay. The reason that what really drove me into this was 1 Peter 3:15-16, which says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks, that you give the reason for what? The hope that you have. Mm. The implication is that you have hope. And I really believe everybody walking on planet Earth, if they have a pulse, they have some hope. Now, they have varying degrees of hope, different volumes of hope, hope that has different influences on them. But we all have hope. We are hope-based creatures. We were made like that. Mm-hmm. And so when we're missing hope, we're really missing big part of the way God made us. We have that, as Pascal said, we have a God-shaped hole inside of us, and hope is a component of that, that we look forward to things, and that's what hope is. Hope isn't what's here now. Hope is the way I look towards the future, and so I need to be purposefully building and refilling my hope tank, and the first part of the book talks about receiving hope, and the talking about we have to receive hope in weakness. That doesn't sound very American.
Yeah.
Usually it's in strength. I got to, you know, exercise. But
it does sound biblical.
Yes, it does. I didn't say American. It's from the Bible. And then we get hope through community. I need other people to have hope. This, again, is not American. We need to be with people. Thirdly, we have to be learning hope. Hope is a skill. Hope just doesn't fall into us. We have to learn it. We also have to be learning and growing in hope through the F word, failure. Mm. Failure
Ooh,
is an important—
That's a tough one. That's tough. So how can I have hope out of failure?
We have hope out of failure because we're going to come out of it. One way or the other, whatever is happening. I was laying on a gurney in a hospital, unable to move. I had lost control of my arms and legs. The neurosurgeon came in, cut me, and I didn't feel a thing. And they said, we have to operate. It's 10:30 at night on a Sunday. Now, Marion and I prayed. We were newly married. We had been married 3 months when this happened, this attack happened.
Well,
our prayer was very hopeful. The prayer was, heal him or take him. Now, you listen to that and say, well, that's not very hopeful. It was extremely hopeful. We didn't know what it was at the time, but it says, even if nothing changes, I'm still eternally guaranteed a relationship with God through Jesus and his shed blood on the cross. That is hopeful. If he healed me completely or partially, there is still hope because he is with me. He is in me. So even through those difficult times, there is the hope because God exists. What did that last song say? God is with us.
Yes.
So we have through failure, hope through listening.
Hang on a second, though. I want to hear the rest of the story. So what finally happened? You were on the gurney. How did that play out? Obviously, you're here, but we want to hear the details. What happened?
Well, they did something that was, at the time, not a lot of fun. They stood me on my head on this moving table, injected dye into my spine, and they found a blockage. And they opened up the back of my neck, something that's called a cervical laminectomy. And they removed, you feel the back of your neck, you feel those little bumps?
Yeah.
That's your cervical lamina. It's the part that protects your spine. Well, they went in with saws and chisels and knocked out the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and part of the seventh, and they found a 7-inch blood clot that came from nobody knows. They removed the clot, and when I came to, I could move again. But I still, some people say I'm numb from the neck up, but I do have numbness from the neck down in different spots. But even in this, the question is, Kurt, what am I going to do with that? Am I going to say, woe is me? Or am I going to say, how good is God? Every day I have a step I didn't have. I can take a drink of coffee that I couldn't do. That is hope, that God is with us even through those scary times.
Wow, I love that story. Okay, what about some of the other ways of receiving hope?
Well, we have to be listening for hope. We have to be on the receiving side, but we got to be looking for it. We got to be listening for it. And we also have to receive hope. When people send us hope, we got to be open to it. How many people do we know that says, I'm going to help you, but you can't help me? There's a lot of that. And that's one word. It's pride. Mm-hmm. And so we have to be receiving and then to accept it into us, accept that hope. But if all we do is receive hope, Kurt, it's not enough. We have to be giving hope. We have to be sharing hope. There are 7 ways to receive hope, but the book goes through 10 steps for sharing hope. We have to be on the give on sharing hope.
So it's not being a reservoir, it's being a river, right? So as the hope is poured into us, mainly through God and our faith in Jesus, and then suddenly we need to make sure we don't become a stagnant pond. It needs to flow through us into the lives of other people. So sharing hope, that's a great gift that we can give people.
Yes, it is. We think about what Jesus said to the woman at the well. He said, I am not a well, I'm a bubbling brook. I'm a bubbling stream. I am water that is alive. There's nothing that sits on top of it. It's moving. And that's the way hope is supposed to be in us, is that we are to be people who receive, but it's got to move out or we become stagnant.
Okay, so I know we don't have a ton of time here, but I want to get to these 10 steps. What are they?
We have to live with hopeful assumptions. When things happen to me, do I assume they're for the good? I have to accept them. I then have to be listening for ways to know how to share that hope. I need to posture myself so that I'm looking for opportunities to share hope. And hope comes in steps. It's not falling off a bridge. It's one step at a time in sharing it so people can receive it.
Could you give us an example of how to do that?
Well, I have a friend who lives in Leesburg, Florida, and he's a great guy. He really is. But if I went to him and I just dumped hope on him, he's going to shut down on me. Mm-hmm. He's a great guy. We have a great relationship. But if I give him hope a piece at a time, a step at a time, a word of encouragement at a time, the guy who led me to Christ said a few very smart things. And one of them was, you can't make anyone drink. You can lead them to water, but you can't make them drink.
Yeah.
But what you can do is feed them salt.
Oh, I like that. That's good.
And so these little pieces of hope, people will say, what is wrong with you? You're so happy. You're hopeful. And when that happens, what did they do? They opened the door. They opened the door to themselves and their soul because they're saying, I'm thirsty.
Yes.
I desperately need this.
Yes. So, right, so it's being a good listener, too, by the way.
Yes,
so you can really kind of follow the breadcrumbs as God leads. Okay, what else?
Well, we have to apprentice. You have to realize that being someone of hope you're going to have to take steps. Find someone who's hopeful and learn from them. You'd also, the most important skill, I think, in life is the skill of asking questions. What did God do when Adam and Eve sinned? Did he come down and condemn them? Did he say, you're going to hell? No, he said, what did you do? Where are you? He asked questions, and we should do the same. We should also be looking for hopeful direction in our life and then hopeful connections that we would be connected with people.
All right, so we've laid it out there. Now we know, you know, a little bit more in depth of what it really means to have a PhD in hope. Okay, now, granted, this has been a flyover, okay? Each one of these things that you're bringing up, Chet, we need to camp out on, meditate on, think deeply about, and put into play. And that's why your book is a great resource. And again, it's like a handbook for this. It's just so easy to read. And you've made this accessible to each and every one of us. And so thanks for doing this. I love this. I love looking at, and there's the photos in there too. This is good.
Well, it's been a hopeful journey for me. I was not raised in a hopeful environment. I was raised in a family that if you didn't yell and scream at one another, you just weren't listened to. Mm-hmm. And through coming to Christ a little bit later and having his influence that he would die for somebody like me.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, you only see the outside. You don't know what's going on inside. And if he would do this for me, then there really is hope for this life. There's hope for eternity.
Wow. Jesus really is all about hope. Chet, thanks for coming by. It's been wonderful for you to just cruise by the studio, and you brought all these books, and I feel like we made a new friend.
Well, I'm honored, and I just like to close with Colossians 1:27, which says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's been an honor to be with you and your people and your friends here on the radio. God bless you all.
Thanks for listening to Curtain Cape Mornings Podcast. Please take a minute to follow, subscribe, and review us. And no matter where in the world you are, you can listen to us live from 6 to 9 a.m. weekdays on the Moody Radio app.